You are now listening to Barge Cop Radio.
Water town, the beast is loose.
Word them up, y'all.
Water town, the beast is loose.
Come on.
Okay, let's run through a little bit of economics. You just can't hardly get a Bar Cop Radio episode without some economics in it. A couple things to run through. One of them is consumer reports. They're talking about cars. Now, it tells you a little something here. And don't think this is all a bunch of wild-ass abstract economics. This is stuff that you need to deal with every day. Because if you don't, you're going to end up without any money, and that's bad. This is from a recent U.S. Whore Today. They're talking about the best cars you can buy. Best family sedan, Honda Accord. Upscale sedan, Acura TL. Luxury car, Lexus 430. Fun to drive, don't care. Small SUV, Subaru. Midsize SUV, Lexus. Three-row SUV, Honda. Minivan, Honda. Green car, Toyota. Now, guess what all those countries... Wait, guess... What country? All those cars are made in. They're all made in Japan. Now, why is Japan kicking Detroit's ass? Why is Japan kicking Germany's ass? I don't have the answer. I'm just saying, if you're going to buy a car, you kind of have to buy a Japanese car. Because everybody reads these things, and people who bought American or German or French or Korean or whatever. Now, the Koreans are doing better with their cars, and I'm not sure I buy it. They're telling me how... The Kia Sophia is one of the best cars. I just ain't buying it. To me, if a company gives you 10-year warranty on the car, that means you're going to need a 10-year warranty on the car. So be careful with those Korean and Taiwan and those kinds of cars. But if I was going to buy, some good friends of mine recently told me they were shopping for a car and asked me, since I was in the car business a while back, I recommend buy Japanese. That's, you're just going to spend less money. One thing about a Japanese car, you may spend more for, you know, if you buy, when I was in the car business, I was in the piece of shit car business. And what I mean by that is my boss would buy a 10-year-old Grand Prix for probably $1,000 and he'd sell it for $5,000. And if the guy made half his payments, we made $1,500. But the problem is if you buy a $5,000 10-year-old car, it's going to run for a year. Maybe two, if you're lucky, and then it's going to break. And then when you try to get it repaired, they're going to say, oh, Christ, it costs more to repair this car than it's worth. So now you're out shopping again. So what have you done? You've spent $2,500 per year on a piece of shit car. Whereas, if you buy a more expensive Japanese car, you might spend $15 for it. But 5 years later, you might be able to get $8 or $10 for it. So instead of paying $2,500 a year for crap, you're paying maybe $1,000 to $1,500 a year for quality. Now, would you rather pay $2,500 for crap or $1,500 for quality? If you can, and I realize everybody can't, but if you can, spend a little more, buy Japanese, get it used if you can. Recently used is real good. You know something else? Because the rich are spoiled sons of bitches, for years we used to buy used Cadillacs because I wanted Mrs. Bart in a big old heavy clunky, whole lot of steel, whole lot of metal situation. She once, probably told you before, she once had a lumberjack, no, a giant lumber truck, pushed her into the car in front of her. You know, we just liked a lot of steel. Lately, though, they got so many airbags and other stuff that I think it's safer for her to be in a car with airbags than a car with a whole bunch of steel. But the point I'm making, takes me a long time to make a point, the rich people... Having last year's rich car is so bourgeois, it's so middle class, it's just, they just won't have it. So if you buy, you can buy a pretty nice car that's 2 years old because the people who bought a brand new, really nice car, they don't want to be seen in that car 2 years later because their friends would all point and laugh. So this Honda Accord, they say, is the best family sedan. You buy you a two-year-old Honda Accord, you're probably going to spend maybe $16 for it. But it's going to be a real nice car, and it's going to run forever. Yeah, yeah, do that. Right below that, since we're on economic here, gas prices take biggest leap since May to $2 a gallon. Now, I'm going to get to a bigger one here in a minute, but trust me, gas prices are going up. Every decision you make in the next couple of years that has to do with energy or whatever, built into your decision that Bush is going to raise the price of gas through the roof, is going to keep going. Nothing's going to stop that. Okay, moving on. Uneasy airlines anticipate $60 a barrel oil. These people are either smart or they've been listening to BarCop.com because price anticipating 60, they better be anticipating 80 and 100 and 120 because that's where oil's going. At least they're anticipating the 60, which is kind of duh because it's at what, 52, 54, 55 now? So yeah, it's going to 60. It may be at 60 by the time you hear this. But the nutty airlines, I guess more people need to do like Southwest Airlines, but now and then you hear about someone that was on a plane that had 11, 12 people on a plane that held 80 or something. Airlines can't keep doing that. You know another thing they could do a little bit better job on? Northwest used to do this a couple years ago. I don't know who else does it, but they ought to have a deal that you can get on your computer, and if there's, today is Thursday, if there's a, it's Thursday 3:30, they ought to have a deal where I can log on my computer and they can tell me that a Southwest flight that either, well, Southwest doesn't work so well because they're always real cheap, but let's say I want to go to Minnesota. You ought to be able to get on your computer and say, wow, there's a Northwest flight leaving Tulsa for Minneapolis at 6 o'clock, and since they don't think they're going to sell it out in the next 3 hours, 2 hours, they'll let me have that ticket for $50. Now, they ought to do that. Why in the hell are airlines flying around with empty seats when they can sell discount seats? It just makes more sense. I don't know why they do that. Okay, moving on because we have to move fast. Copper soars on China and the sagging dollar. Copper is going through the roof. Copper prices are hovering around 16-year highs today as the worldwide commodities boom continues to benefit from a combination of insatiable Chinese demand and a sagging dollar. China is blowing up, as the kids say, and America is blowing up the wrong way. America is destroying itself because Bush is ruining the economy. He's doing this on purpose because the super rich always have a good economy. There's no such thing as a bad economy in the super rich category. Let me show you a little bit about what commodities are doing. Silver. Okay, this is changed from a year ago. Silver is up 7%. So if you got some silver around the house, whoop-de-doo. Cattle. I own a few hundred head of cattle. I guess you do too. I guess everybody does. No, nobody owns cattle, but it's up 8%. Gold is up 10%. Now, gold goes up when there's trouble in the Middle East. So, you know, gold's going up. Gold's up 10%. Copper up 16%. They say there is 9 miles of copper wire. No, is it 9 tons? It's got a 9 in it. 9,000 pounds of copper going to every Boeing 747, including 120 miles of wiring. So, yeah, as the economy picks up, you got to have a lot of copper. But the big one, oil, is up 49% in the last year. About a year ago, I told you people, buy oil. I don't know how you buy oil. You either buy oil stocks or you buy oil funds or you buy oil futures or you buy oil contracts. You do something, but somehow, whatever it is, get involved with oil. Oil's going through the effing roof. If you believe me a year ago, and you shouldn't have because what do I know about economics, but a year ago, if you'd heard show 23 a year ago and bought a bunch of oil, you'd be 50% richer now. Oil's not going down ever, ever again. Well, it won't go down until a Democrat gets elected, and what are the odds of that happening? Still in economics, headline, Bono could make World Bank shortlist. He said it with a laugh Sunday, but Treasury Secretary John Snow would not rule out Irish singer Bono for the shortlist of potential candidates to lead the World Bank. Now, you kids probably don't know a whole lot about Groucho Marx, but they asked Groucho Marx if he wanted to join some club, and he said no, and asked him why. He said, any organization that would allow me to be a member, I don't want to be in that organization. And that's what this kind of reminds me of. I like Bono. I think he does a lot of good music, and he's, personally, I think he's a good guy. Spends a lot of his own time and his own money, unlike the vulgar pig boy, doing something for somebody else. But does he belong on the World Bank shortlist? The only way he might is if it's a figurehead, kind of like Bush owning the Texas Rangers. If you need someone to walk around and slap backs and say, how are you doing? Let's work together on this. And how about help me out? If that's what you need, then maybe he could do some good. But you really don't want Bono to be in charge of the World Bank. On the other hand, he is super rich. I sometimes compare him and Rush in that, let's say they both have $300 million in the bank. If you're a Democrat with $300 million, you can't be bribed. If you're a Republican with $300 million, you want $400 million so fucking bad you'll kill for it. But if you're a Democrat with $300 million, hey, you're set up for life. So's your wife, so's your kids, so's your grandkids, so are your neighbors, so are your friends. Everybody's set up for life, so you're fine. You might even actually make the right decision because you can't be bought. But a Republican, they will murder for another $100,000. They will kill. They'll sell nude pictures of their mother for 50 cents. They got to have more money, more money, more. They should change the name of the GOP to more money, more money, more money, more money. Continuing on and perhaps closing out the economic. Oh, I know how you people love when I talk economics. You know what else funny about when Will Bart talks about economics? Either nobody is listening to this or I'm right, because I never ever get any mail saying, Bart, that whole thing you did on economics, you don't have any clue at all. You don't have any fucking idea at all what the hell you're talking about. I'm amazed that you can talk about something for so long and have no idea in this whole planet about what you're talking. You know what the biggest scam in the world is? Here we're going to talk about, what's the headline here? Greenspan against tax reform proposal. Somewhat income tax replaced with consumption tax. This is a direct screwing of every little guy in the world, and it's so easy. One reason I think I know about economics is because it's so easy. You can get some idiot like Greenspan and get up there and spout off on some wild-ass theories for 5 hours and everybody's asleep. Or a guy like me, I can break it down in a couple of sentences. And here we go. I'm going to read you one paragraph. Some economists... The lawmakers have proposed replacing income taxes with a consumption tax, such as a national retail sales tax or a value-added tax on goods, as a way to simplify the tax code. They're lying. Or to promote consumer saving. They're lying. If consumers have to pay 20% consumption tax, they may choose to buy a Honda instead of a Hummer and put the rest of the money into savings. The theory goes they are lying. And let me explain it to you how. It's so fucking easy. Let's talk about two people. You talk about, we got a rich couple, they've got $50 million in the bank, and they live in the biggest house in town up on the hill. They're old, they're 60, let's say. Now let's talk about another couple across town, trying to make it, struggling like hell. Dad makes $30,000 a year, they got four kids, mom's got to stay home because by the time you pay for whatever babysitting cost times four, that and her transportation to work, and she needs a second car, and yada, yada, yada. You might as well have her stay home, raise the kids properly. So you got one guy making, you know, in Oklahoma, you can live on $30,000. Where you are, you probably can't, but let's call it $30,000. Okay, so you got the super millionaires up on the hill with their 50. Let's go $30 million and $30,000. There you go. This couple's got $30 million in the bank. Everything's paid for. This other poor bastard, he's living in a trailer, making $30,000 a year. Got a wife and four kids. The old couple, the millionaires, they've got everything they've ever wanted. They've got each got a new Rolls Royce. They got the $30 million mansion. They've got everything. The only money they're going to spend is on food and utilities and maybe a trip to Vegas or Monte Carlo or wherever rich people go. I don't know. So if we get to this sales tax, these people with $30 million, they're going to be paying sales tax on maybe $100 worth of food a week. Let's say they're health nuts or they're slim. They don't eat goodies. They just eat, you know, she eats a tuna sandwich, she eats a whatever. They barely eat any food. They watch TV. They read books. They never do anything. They never spend any money. So their taxes are going to zero. If you're not going to hit them with some property taxes, here they got this $30 million between the house and the bank accounts. They got this $30 million. They're not ever going to spend any money. They've got everything. It's all over. They have everything they want. So their tax bill for the year is going to be near zero. They're going to be paying sales tax on food and sales tax, let's say, on utilities or whatever. Meanwhile, this poor bastard across town, making $30,000 a year with his wife and his four kids, he is in trouble. He is in severe trouble. He's got to buy his food bill a week is $200, $300 a week Jesus, you got six people, you got six pairs of shoes you got to buy. The kids are growing every year. Every year they got to have new clothes. They go to school, they got to have lunch money, they got to have bus money, or depending on where you live, they got to have everything. Everything they have is broke. The washer dryer is broken down. They got to buy new carpeting. They got to buy new this. They got to buy new that. The trailer's got trouble. Every time they open their mouth, they got to spend a few more $100 on this and on that. And this value-added sales tax, whatever they want to call it, it's strangling this little guy to death. They've got nothing. They need everything. If they have a VCR, it's an old piece of crap that someone gave them. If they were to go to buy a VCR, well, I don't know what a VCR costs these days. Let's say it's $200. Well, this tax is going to make it $250. Meanwhile, the super rich guy on the hill, he already owns everything. He's got his old DVD, laser, everything, whatever. You just can't do this sales tax. You can't, this value added. And the value added thing, that's if you buy, you know, say an artist buys $200 worth of something, wood, and he makes it into something and he sells it for $1,000. Well, they're going to want the tax on the difference between the $200 and the $1,000. The whole thing is designed to where the super rich pay nothing. Any idea that comes out of the Republican Party is going to be for the super rich to pay nothing and the super poor to pay everything. And since the super poor don't have that money, and since the super rich will only pay it if they volunteer, that'll happen. That means the money's not going to be paid. This is the monkey bush economic rule. We're going to spend all the money. We're going to give all the money away. Once we're broke, we're going to tell the poor people there's no more safety net. Fuck you. This is how it works. This whole idea with the sales tax and the value-added tax, it's just more Bush monkeyism. Look at the economy. Look what he's done. He's got to have a war. He's got to have a broken economy. He's got to have people out of work. All this fits into the big master plan. The opposite was true when Clinton was in. Everybody had a job. The stock market was going up. Everybody was happy. The people were having to pay more and more for wages. Remember they kept talking about raising the minimum wage? Oh, that'll bankrupt America. Well, yeah, it bankrupted us into 11,500 on the Dow and 5,000 on the NASDAQ. That's how much it bankrupted us. And so you get a monkey like Bush in there, and he says, oh, now they put all this pressure on wages to go down so the super rich don't have to pay any payroll tax. This is all, it all gets down to the same thing. The super rich are hungry, they want more, and the poor people who are trying to get by, who got the kids and the bills, and can't make it, don't have health insurance. Jesus, you know, think what it's like to have six people in the house and you got to have health insurance. If you're 60 years old and you got a lot of money, you don't need a lot of health insurance. Hell, if you get sick and you go to the hospital and your hospital bill's $2 million, fine. You write them a check. Over. Done. Next. So don't let them fool you. Anytime they talk about the sales tax or value-added tax, the person speaking makes millions per year. It's real easy to put that to the test. If Tim Russert tells you this is a good idea, it's because Timmy makes $5 million a year, and he's been making that for 10 years. He's got $50 million, probably spent 5 or 10 on a house. The other 30, 40 million's in the stock market or in real estate or wherever, I don't know where rich people put their money. But anyone that tells you that's a good idea, they're telling that to you because they're rich and they're greedy, they want more. It's just a big scam job from the front. I wish everybody could see it that way, but they don't let people like me on the airwaves. General Electric or Disney or Viacom is not going to give me a show or a radio show because they can't have a guy like me on the, well, if I knew what I was talking about especially, but they can't have a guy like me spouting these radical ideas about the super rich having enough money. One of these days we're going to revisit the Network movie where Howard Beale keeps telling these people, we got to stop the Saudi oil deal. It's a bad deal from America. They're draining America's resources. It's the Saudis and the government have gotten together to be, that was made in the, what, the mid, early 70s. Paddy Chayefsky, whatever his name is, wrote that, and somehow he could see 30 years in the future. Bush is getting everything he wants. As I speak this, they're doing this bankruptcy bill. They're doing this. They're doing that. They're rewriting all the laws. They're changing America. And the Democrats don't care. And the media damn sure don't care because the super rich have everything and they want more. When you hear this bullshit about the sales tax, tell them no. Because the guy talking to you is a greedy rich bastard. He wants more. Don't let him have any more. Tell him this is America. Little guy ought to get a piece too.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, might be a millionaire.
So people have been writing in, Bart, when are you going to do some more on sports? So this is for you guys. Going to do a little sports for you. Number one, Kobe Bryant. Is anybody surprised that he settled before he got under oath to talk about his sex life? Now, you know and I know and the American people know and Bob Dole knows that Kobe Bryant had 10 girlfriends in every city he's ever been in his whole life. And if he had any chance to get out of this, I mean, his reputation's already ruined, obviously, but to become the poster boy, the new Wilt Chamberlain of basketball, he doubled that girl's check so he could get out of it. And isn't that odd that you can commit that kind of horrific crime and write a check and say, never mind? It just seems screwy from all sides. Plus, from the girl's point of view, if she was going to settle this for a big fat check, why didn't she settle this for a big fat check long, long ago? It seems like every one of these celebrity trials that comes up, the entire point is to drag it out as long as possible. Get as many months or as many years as possible as you can out of something. I don't know if this is the courts making money or if it's the lawyers making money or if it's the whore press just begging for a bigger story every day. But if she was always going to accept the check, why the hell didn't she accept the check, whatever, the day after he was arrested? And I know what you're saying. Maybe she changed her mind. Well, her attorney ought to be able to tell her, you know, once this horrible crime has happened to you, assuming that it did, and I think we can assume that, you tell your attorney, I want justice. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care about the money. I want him to stand in court and be shamed. I want him found guilty. I want him to go to prison. You'd think the lawyer would tell you, look, I understand that's how you feel now, but in a year, in 2 years, you're not going to feel that way, and going through all this is going to really take a toll. You know, you're probably going to lose some weight. Your hair might fall out. You might develop, oh, some kind of psychological problems. You may, you know, have to go on medication. It's going to be a big thing. Or you can take the check right now. Now, why didn't her attorney tell her up front? I've dealt with dozens of rape victims. I have an idea what you're going through. Why not take the short way out? Take the check now. Use it to get a little therapy or whatever. It just seems if she was always going to take the check, why didn't she take the check in July of 2003, whenever the hell this started? They're speculating about how big a check Kobe had to write. Someone said he bought her a house, is the bottom line. They said it was tiny money to Kobe, who makes, I mean, hell, he's got, I think, still a $40 million deal with Nike that's probably not going to be renewed. Maybe it is, but $40 million to Kobe, that's like one of his jobs. That'd be like, whatever, $1,000 to me and you. But from her point of view, she's going to get a house out of it. So what do you figure, $200,000-$300,000, which seems kind of cheap for Kobe. Maybe that $300,000 turned into $1 million once it became the morning of the deposition. Because anytime you get a guy under oath and you start asking how many women you had sex with, and if you say just 50 and they can come up with 75 names, now you're going to be impeached. But bottom line, if she was always going to settle, why didn't she save herself all the heartache? How many times, I don't know, well, I've seen her name, I don't remember it, but how many times has her name been mentioned? I mean, some people put it in their columns, some people mention it on TV, some people, it's been all over the internet like crazy. They've, you know, plus the whole town knows who she is. I mean, to go through all that and still, in the end, not get your justice, if she was always going to get the check, why not take it early? We got the steroid scandal in baseball. And I saw something that I thought was really extra stupid. And again, this is not about fixing baseball. It's not about getting it to the truth. It's not about anything but dragging it out for as effing long as possible. Let's do 25 years on steroids instead of fixing it. You know, they could put pressure on them right now. fix it. The people could get together. Some websites, ESPN, somebody could just say, let's nobody go to any ballparks, no baseball this year, until they have a guaranteed test for steroids. They could solve it overnight, but they don't want to. It's more fun to have a controversy, and let's drag it out for years and years and years and years. It just is maddening how nobody ever wants to solve anything. They just want to drag it on forever and ever and ever. So I'm reading this headline here in the U.S. Whore Today. This guy who often makes sense, his name is John Saraceno. Looks like a hippie. Looks like a gay hippie. Headline, once and for all, baseball should come clean about steroids. Well, no, they're not going to do that. And I'll tell you why. The idiotic politicians are helping this bullshit to go on. Let me read you a little bit of this column here. Baseball, the commissioner, the owners, the players, the union, general managers, the whole kit and caboodle owe us the truth about steroids in our national pastime. It is time for the lying to stop, for all the evasion and obfuscation to come to a halt. It's time for courage in our cherished game. Yes, time for those sporting tailored suits and jellyfish spines to get right with the game's sturdy backbone, the fans. Let me know when you've stopped laughing, he says. Ha, you want the truth? You can't handle the truth. At least it doesn't appear that way if you've been following the tepid responses by those invited to testify this month before a congressional committee investigating the scandal that taints the game and every player, guilty or innocent. They're inviting people to testify. What kind of bullshit is that? Why don't they subpoena the son of a bitch? Make him show up. Now listen to this hand job here. Jason Giambi says it's unlikely he'll appear for the March 17th hearing. Sammy Sosa says he needs more time to make a decision. What kind of hand job is that? Sammy Sosa apparently is guilty of using steroids. Who needs, what, weeks or months to decide if you're going to accept an invitation to talk about drugs? You're either doing them or you're not. It's pretty damn simple. And, you know, they have these things now, they're called jets. Sammy could get from, where is he? He's in Florida or he's somewhere on spring training. He could get from Florida to D.C. and back in a day. But no, he's got to have more time to make a decision. Maybe what he needs is more time to let the steroids get out of his system. I don't know how long they stay with you. If it's like marijuana, it lasts for months and months. Or if it's like LSD or cocaine, it's gone the next day. But same for Mark McGwire and everybody. If you did it, stand up and say so. Everybody is lying. Everybody is lying. Someone said, you know, 80% of baseball is using steroids. Who knows if that's true? They're all in on this together, though. Anyone who's not demanding steroid testing is either doing it or all his friends are doing it. You know, the game's going down the tubes. That's what they should do. And it would take somebody like ESPN, somebody who can rally the fans. If they just get together and say, we're not going to any ballparks, you know, opening day, let the ballparks be empty. We want a steroid test. We want it right now. We're not going to wait one more day. If you want anybody to show up at the ballpark, have those tests done and have every player in baseball take his test before opening day or we're not showing up. But no, nobody's going to do that. ESPN's not going to do it. The newspapers, the media, nobody's going to do that because they like to drag this shit out for months and years and decades. It'll just go on and on and on. Nobody wants to fix anything in this world. And you'd think a fella in my business, sure, I get to whine about things, but it's so easy to fix stuff. I got a whole stack of stuff here that they could fix overnight, but no, nobody wants to fix anything. Oh, another thing, it says Barry Bonds was not invited. The most famous home run hitter of all time, we'll say, because he's going to break the record, and he's the one most strongly suspected. I don't know. I like everything. I don't have a chance to follow it, but his manager, whatever, his trainer, somebody was arrested in San Francisco. I don't know that story, but somehow he is connected to it. And all of a sudden, you start hitting 73 home runs a year, like McGwire hitting 70. Gee, how did that happen? How is it that you're in baseball 10 or 12 years, and then you figure out how to hit a ball? Seems like you can either hit the ball or you can't. Barry Bonds was not invited to testify. See, nobody wants the truth. Nobody wants to solve anything. They all want to stand around and yank themselves. That's what America is about all the time, unless it's coming to murder Iraq. We do that right away. But everything else, every other issue that pops up in the media, nobody wants to solve it. They just want to rag it on and on and on to the end of time. I don't know anyone who doesn't like Lance Armstrong. I know my good friend Tally is a big, big Lance Armstrong fan, and lots of people wearing those little cancer bracelets and all that's cool. But Lance, don't you think it's time to hang him up? Isn't it going to be sad? I mean, he's won six. You know, he should have hung up after three or four. Then he held on and he won the fifth one. Then he held on and he won the sixth one. And maybe he'll even win the seventh one. But odds are against it. I saw a thing in the paper, Armstrong 140th in tour tune-up. But they had some kind of little race where a bunch of people got together and they call it a tune-up. It's just a little pretend get-together race before the big one. And poor Lance came in 140th in the race. Now, I'm not saying he's going to, you know, it doesn't count, et cetera, but at some point, Lance is not going to win. And then he's going to say, I should have retired last year. And it's just going to be sad. Why is it, of all people? Now, entertainers can hang around for a while. I didn't mind, well, maybe Frank Sinatra hung around a little too long. But as a rule, I saw a thing about James Brown today. He's got some medical problems and all that. But hey, if he can still entertain a crowd, fine. But an athlete, it's not like that. Nobody wants to see the football player who can't make a tackle or who can't get away from a tackle. Nobody wants to see the basketball player who can't get down to the other end of the court. Nobody wants to see a ball player striking out a bunch. And here we got Lance Armstrong wanting to hang around a little too long. How old is Lance? Lance is, you'd think they'd say. They don't say. But anyway, Lance, you had a great career. You showed a lot of courage. You did what no man had ever done before. But, dude, it's time to go. It's time to hang him up. Why don't you retire undefeated? Well, not undefeated, but retire a winner. When you come in, you're going to come in 15th or something, you know, and then we got to talk about that for a few years. Let's just, Lance, trust me, you got a pretty girlfriend. She's famous. Why don't you and her settle down, have some kids, go on a lecture circuit, make a lot of money, go on the talk shows. You got a nice life. You don't have to go through another grueling race. What are you going to prove? That an old guy can do it? I don't like it. Lance, you're my man, but time to retire. Saw a Dennis Miller quote that doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, you kind of can figure where he's going. And I guess we should give him credit for doing a joke that's not based in the 60s or 70s. Poor Dennis has had a lot of trouble since he converted, coming up with a joke that wasn't manufactured in 1965. But in the USA Today, it says, CNBC's Dennis Miller on Kobe Bryant, settling the sexual assault civil suit against him. Boy, it's hard to say. Sexual assault civil suit against him. Although the settlement size has not been revealed, the White House is reportedly looking into solving the federal deficit by sending it to visit Kobe's hotel room. Now, I guess that's hysterically funny if you voted for Bush, but for the rest of us, that don't make a damn bit of sense. Dennis, you should retire before Lance should, trust me. Lance Armstrong should retire now. You should have retired years ago. Is gambling a sport? Maybe it is, maybe it ain't. I think it's as much a sport as driving a race car. It's got to be as much a sport as soccer. But here's a big headline. Floridians to vote on slot machines. Now here we go again. Nobody wants to solve anything. The entire world, or at least this country, all they want to do is go in circles and get on a merry-go-round and yeah, 100,000 times and not go anywhere and not do anything. That drives me nuts. The Las Vegas-style slots would be placed at South Florida's tracks and highlight frontons. Don't know what the word fronton is. Maybe it's a highlight term. But, you know, if you're going to have gambling on highlight, how is slot machines a controversy? But it is. And Monkey Jeb Bush, he's against it. I suppose the religions are against it, and he's their tool. He's their little puppet, so he's going to be against it. Miami Beach, Florida, the visions could not be more different. People who want Las Vegas-style slot machines in South Florida insist they will create jobs and pump money into schools. Opponents believe they will transform a family-friendly destination into a gambling mecca with more crime and social ills. Voters in the state's two most populous counties, Miami-Dade and Broward, will decide Tuesday whether to allow slot machines at the 7 dog and horse racetracks. You got dog racing, you got gambling. You got horse races, you got gambling. You got highlight, you got gambling. But don't let them pull a switch on a slot machine. No, that would invite crime. Please, how in the hell, what is a criminal gang going to come to town and knock over a slot machine? All the, you know, you can bribe a jockey, you can drug a horse, you can drug a dog, you can, I mean, there was a big famous murder in Tulsa about 30 years ago, right after we moved here, this Roger Wheeler, I think was his name. He went to the big fancy golf course in South Tulsa, and after he got done playing, they shot him in the head right as he was getting in his car, and it was a big, big, I mean, this guy was super rich, and they say they think the underworld from Florida came up here and killed him. Right after he just got done playing golf, and they just pumped a bunch of bullets in his head. And they said that they figured out later, 30 years later, like everything, they can't figure nothing out. They got to wait 30 years to figure out that it was the high-life people in Florida. Somehow he got mixed up with them, and he betrayed somebody, or someone felt betrayed or something, so that pumped some bullets in his head. But so the idea that if you're going to gamble on horses and dogs and high-life, what the hell is a slot machine going to hurt anybody? But that's not even the bigger point. The point is, it's hard to find a state without gambling now. They have Texas Hold'em here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Of course, you can't play because they have one fucking table for 10 fucking thousand people. You know, you can go put your name on the list and you get to play in 2012. I don't know if I'm going to make it to 2012. Jesus, I got to go to Vegas to gamble when they got gambling in my hometown. It just pisses me off. Anyway, there's gambling all over the place. There's casinos everywhere. Biggest casino in America is in Foxwoods, which is in Connecticut, near Boston, you know, between Boston and New York. But to hear Jeb and these monkeys in Florida talk about it, they don't know what gambling's going to do. If they introduce gambling, X might happen or Y might happen. No, there's no way to tell what could possibly happen. Well, hey, monkeys, how about you check out what happened in the other 10,000 cities that now have gambling? I can guarantee there's been no big crime wave in Tulsa since they legalized poker. I guess it was just after the first of the year, so we're, 60 days or something into the deadly poker, the gambler's mecca poker. But there are casinos all over the place. There's, remember we talked about this a while ago. In Las Vegas, prostitution is pretty much legalized. And we did some checking. In Las Vegas, they have fewer rapes. They have fewer domestic abuses. They have fewer, whatever problems you might think legalized prostitution would cause, they have less of it in Vegas than they do in other cities Vegas' size. And that's a fact. But nobody wants to look at the facts. Nobody wants to get anywhere near logic when it comes to making decisions that affect millions of people. We can't possibly allow logic to enter into that process. We got to ask the invisible clown being what he wants. That is so stupid. Vegas has less rape than Tulsa, Oklahoma. But no, we can't have legalized, not that I'm going to use it, but we can't have legalized prostitution in Tulsa because that would be wrong. The invisible clown being wouldn't like it. Fewer women would get beat up by their husbands and fewer sexually transmitted diseases and fewer whatever else, the long, long list. When we talked about this Vegas thing, someone sent me a list and they were hiring two categories. One of them was car theft, which you kind of figure. I mean, I don't know what the reason is, but you stand on the corner, the million-dollar corner or something, where the MGM and the whatever, it's a big, nice corner in Vegas. You stand there on Saturday night, and you see every kind of Maserati you'd ever want. Rolls Royce, I mean, just the great cars. Now, I don't know if those are the cars they're stealing, but for some reason, of all the things you can do in Vegas, they have more cars are stolen there than the average. And they had one other thing that had nothing to do with prostitution. Now, if you want to say a guy stole a car to impress the prostitute, I ain't buying that, so get off of it. But what is wrong, getting back to it, with Monkey Bush, he's against slot machines because no telling what it might do. Well, hey, stupid. There's 49 other states. You could pick up a phone, you could touch a mouse, and you could get 1,000 reports on what gambling has done to other cities. But no, that would be using your head. That would be science and logic. We can't allow any of that. Jeez, it drives me nuts.
Bart Cop Radio. Yeah, you know what I'm saying.